Fight!
Welcome to New Game Plus. This is a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
My name's Nolan.
And this is episode 94. And today we have a very special guest with us. He is the president, host, and founder of the Pokemon Underground Champions League. And I'm sure so much more than even just that. He is Trainer Thatch. Want to welcome him to the show. Welcome.
Welcome, Thatch.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm super excited.
Oh, hey, we are excited to have you and even more so excited to talk about this game with you. Before we get there, would you please just take a moment, introduce yourself to our viewers?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Trainer Thatch. I run the Puckle podcast, Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name that we came up with in 2007 because I was 16. And so,
Yeah, exactly.
So we do everything. We play Pokemon. We do a lot of more modern stuff, not the retro stuff like you guys are into, but I'm really excited because I haven't gotten to like get into the meat of this before. We do modern stuff. If you're into competitive Pokemon, that's the place to go. We do everything though, in the fandom, whether it be the TCG, the video game, pretty much everything. Like, I think we even, Antonin, who listens to your show, who actually let me know about you guys, actually writes for it, and does anime synopses, which is awesome. So
what? He never told us that.
Super fun.
Yeah, no, he did. I've been reading them this week. They're so interesting.
Oh, that's amazing.
There's nothing he doesn't do.
Yeah.
It's been 10 years, man.
That's
awesome.
A long time to have a podcast. Yeah.
We're like 94 episodes. We're feeling like we're starting to get our rhythm. 10 years later of involvement is pretty good.
Well, like, actually, like, 94 episodes. Let me congratulate you guys. I assume you guys are doing them, like, weekly. Like, that's good. That's fantastic. I've podcasted for a while, and, like, that's really good. And I think it's, like, 13 is, like, the cutoff point where if you're, like, good or not, if you're actually going to keep going.
Right.
And, yeah, so you guys are well past that. And you're almost to 100. That's amazing.
Yeah, we're looking forward to our 100th episode. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll do some celebratory stuff. We got some giveaways planned and all kinds of cool things. And so it'll be a really neat milestone. We're pumped.
That's exciting.
It's right around the corner. We're excited for it. It's our, you know, it's the 7 or 8 listeners that that keep us going and that make us feel like we're doing something more than just talking to each other. So
I know that feeling all too well.
Yeah. So here at the start, Thatch, before we get into our game of the week discussion, we typically do this rapid fire thing when we have our guests, where we typically ask unrelated questions, a lot about gaming, sometimes just about movies, random things, so that our viewers can find out who our guest of the week is more in depth. But for you, wanted to do something slightly special, wanted to do something different, and only ask questions that are thematically appropriate to find out more about your affection for and your relationship with Pokemon. So are you down for the challenge?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, let's do it. I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and after each question, you try to answer as quickly and succinctly as possible.
Sure.
We'll start with favorites. What's your favorite generation?
Favorite generation, Generation 4.
Generation 4. Which one is that?
That's Diamond and Pearl.
Diamond and Pearl. Yeah. What's your favorite starter, group of starters?
Group of starters. Oh, man, that's really rough. I would have to say probably Generation 2.
Okay. What's your favorite starter?
Favorite starter is Feraligatr, or Totodile. Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite Pokemon overall?
Feraligatr.
Nice. That What's works. Your favorite legendary bird?
Legendary bird. Are we including like Ho and Lugia in that?
Sure.
It's Lugia then, like absolutely, hands down.
All right. Of the original three, favorite?
Zapdos.
Who's your favorite gym leader?
Oof. Brock.
Who's your favorite evolution?
Somebody asked me that recently, and I didn't have a good answer. I'll say Umbreon.
Okay. Favorite TM?
TM? 26. 26. Hands down. Because that is Earthquake.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. I love that you know. Favorite HM?
HM? Well, those are gone now. But the Surf, HM3.
Okay. And favorite Final Fantasy?
I've never actually played any Final Fantasy, so I do not have a favorite.
You can't just jump to that.
Yeah. I just thought I was going to slip that in there.
I like how you said you were going to keep it completely on topic where normally you ramble, and then you had to go back because you can't not.
If Pokemon was real, which Mon would be most terrifying?
Most terrifying? It would have to be either Tyranitar or... I mean, if you look at the science, I think Makargo is actually terrifying. It says it gets to like 13,000 Fahrenheit.
And it's hot.
That's hotter than the sun. So, so like you don't want to be like close to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Which Pokemon would be most adorable?
Most adorable? Mm-hmm. Oh man, like Sentret. That one's adorable. Or Snubbull.
Okay. Sounds adorable.
Yeah.
Are you a Pokemon nicknamer or do you just leave their names as is?
It depends on the situation. Like through the game, I just leave them as it is. But if I'm in a competitive setting, I nickname them because you can do some like trolly things online. Yeah. So.
Which Pokemon spinoff game is worth playing?
Pokemon Conquest.
Okay. I'd love to know more about that, but this is a
we can talk about it another day. Yeah.
Pokemon Stadium, yes or no?
Yes, actually, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Do you collect Pokemon cards?
I do.
What's the rarest card you own?
Well, right now, the one that's in rotation is Tapu Lele. That one's worth, like, I think $36 right now.
So, nice. Yeah. You'll be rich if you sell that one. Yeah. All right, so you're a gym leader. What would your elemental specialty be?
So currently we actually do that in the community. We do gym leaders for fun to get people into competitive. So right now I'm electric, but I've played like three different types in the past.
Okay. So if you're a gym leader and you are electric, who would your team be?
Oh, my team? Right now, Vikavolt. It's a lot of fun. Zapdos. That's a fun one. Electivire. That one's a lot of fun. If you like Electabuzz, like that's a cool one. And then... I mean, we'll stop with that. Like, they typically have, like, three or four, so...
Yeah, no, that's fine. quickly share your feelings about Sun and Moon deviating from the traditional format.
It was fantastic. It was really good. I was a big fan of it. It was nice to, like, refresh everything, and it was much more story-driven than any other Pokemon game prior, which was really a nice breath of fresh air after X and Y.
Nice. And finally, what is your favorite out of Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow?
Blue.
Why?
Blastoise. It was also the one I picked up when I was a kid. When you used to buy games based on box art.
Yeah,
absolutely. So.
Correct answer on both fronts.
I still do that.
Very good answers all the way through. It's so interesting and intriguing that you know so much about Pokemon. Like, a lot of what you were saying sounded foreign to me, probably to you, Kenny. Nolan, you knew a little bit of what was going on, but it was so interesting and will be very good for our discussion today, because the retro game of the week that we played for the last 7 days and that we're going to be talking about as a part of this podcast today is Pokemon Red and Blue.
Overview.
Pokemon, if you didn't know, is a pretty big deal. So Pokemon has been around for a long time. You know the name, and you really know the name now because of Pokemon Go. So you either played that game or you didn't, but it doesn't matter if you didn't, because you still saw it everywhere. You saw it in the news, you saw it on social media, it's everywhere. So Pokemon is a video game series. It's also a trading card game. It is also an animated television series, and it got its start with Pokemon Red and Blue, which was released back in Japan in 1996.
No, Nolan, you forgot to mention it's also a lifestyle.
It is. You have to live the Pokemon lifestyle. Yeah. No, there's like a casual way to play Pokemon. There's a competitive way. We will definitely dive into that. But it hit America in 98. And it actually wasn't Blue originally. It was Pokemon Red and Pokemon Green version. But when we got it, it turned into Pokemon Red and Blue. And so this is a Game Boy title. It was published by Nintendo. It was developed by Game Freak. And it's a top-down view of a guy named Red, a kid named Red. And your task is to catch all the Pokemon, to defeat the Elite Four. It's a very simple premise, but there's many ways that you can get enjoyment out of the game, depending on how serious you want to be about catching them all, how serious you want to be about just beating the game. So you build a team of Pokemon, six Pokemon, and they have varying types. specialties, moves. It's really weird to describe Pokemon in 2017. I'm just going to say that. But
just because you already know, everybody
it's
knows.
Bizarre. There's any game that we can assume people have some amount of knowledge of, whether it's firsthand, secondhand. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't play the game, you know somebody who has.
Yeah, for sure. And even if they don't play the game, maybe they watch the anime. Again, there's cards you can collect. So, like, it's very bizarre to, I don't know, just bring down the description of Pokemon to such a basic level. But that's the game. That's the game we played this week. And I think we all have some sort of special connection to it. Kenny, maybe not so much. I definitely have. I mean, this is where my gaming hobby kind of started. At least,
like, did you play it on Game Boy as a kid?
I did. I got it maybe a year after it came out for Christmas, and I remember sitting in the corner, like behind a chair, with my Game Boy playing Pokemon Red and not knowing how to get out of my house because the floor mat, you know, that's in front of the door, I didn't know that was the door, so I thought I was just
stayed in the house.
That's
his fond memory of the game. He spent weeks just wandering around the house, and now he's like, it was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
Kenny, what's your connection with it? Did you play it as a kid? Were you even a kid?
No, I've been an adult forever.
Yeah, for the majority of your life.
Yeah, exactly. No, I was familiar, but I never got really into the hype. I knew and had people in my, you know, circle of influence that had the cards, played the games. I dabbled a little, like I played some of the games that friends would have or whatever else, but never owned it. And so it's not one of those titles that for me is a nostalgia bomb. If anything, I'm on the flip side of it. I've played more recently. You guys know early on I did the Pokemon Go thing when it first came out, and have actually been playing a little bit again lately since some of the new changes and rating and all that mm-hmm. has been going on. I've been dabbling again and enjoyed it. But like the original title, I was very familiar just because it's such a well-known title, but hadn't ever sat down and like played the whole game myself until this week. So I was very glad that we decided to do that.
And I had it on Game Boy right when it came out. I think we owned Red and Blue so that I could play one, my brother could play the other at the same time, which is perfect for trading purposes, which we'll talk about. But also played some of the cards. And I don't think I played. I collected some of the cards, which show up at stores sometimes when they were doing like a special card giveaway. So like I was all about getting some of those rare cards, getting some of the rare Pokemon. I was all up in the rumors of what you could accomplish or do in Red or Blue by using an ability on this truck or by doing swimming this direction or whatever. So, a lot of nostalgia this week because of my relationship to it in the past. And for Thatch, what about you? Because you're deep into Pokemon just in general. Yeah. Did it start with Pokemon Red and Blue?
It did. For me,
what's
it
your
did.
Relationship?
For me, it did. It definitely started with Pokemon Red and Blue. And I was like that kid on the playground that knew everything. So, you know, that was the kid that they came to and asked questions. So, I mean, that's obviously carried through for like the past 20 years. So
yeah. You were the Pokemon sage then and just have
I just kept
that
it
mantle.
Going, you know. Yeah, egotistical. Awesome. That's how you describe me. but it started with Blue version. I remember very vividly not knowing how to catch Pokemon for like the first week and just running through the game with an overpowered Blastoise and having no idea what I'm doing.
That was pretty much my week this week.
Yeah.
You summed up my gameplay.
I can understand that entire. It's so confusing. This game. I mean, I don't want to spoil too much, but it's broken, like horribly broken.
In comparison to the rest of the series, you mean?
Yeah, in comparison, if you look at the rest of the series, like I can lay out like a list of things that are wrong with this game compared to mm-hmm. what they've improved on.
Yeah,
but
hey, we did not bring you on this podcast to bash this game.
No, it's,
we,
no, that's
it's
really
still
common.
A good game.
We've found that with lots game. Of first games that like the idea's great, you know, and it like kickstarts mm-hmm. things, but that you tend to find that sequels, that second games, that games that tend to refine themselves a little are usually less like gimmicky or whatever.
It was definitely the marketing. Like the marketing was a huge thing.
But and that's natural, Kenny, right? Like if you're doing the right thing, then your first game is going to be your technically weakest, you know, like on a technical level at least. But if a series is able to progress here 20 years later, still producing things, then there was something that happened right with the original.
Absolutely.
That led to where we are today.
Gameplay.
So Thatch, I'd love to hear, I'm really interested in what is broken about this one. Cause like,
We're starting there. It's a natural segue,
and it talks straight into gameplay. I like it. Yeah,
the more casual Pokemon player, which I think that's the majority, maybe the majority of Pokemon players that aren't in the competitive scene. What is broken about the game?
So if you guys try to use the move Focus Energy throughout the entire gameplay, that was the wrong thing to do. It does absolutely the opposite of what it's supposed to do. Because it's supposed to increase your critical hit chance, it actually brings it all the way back down to zero so that you can't actually get a critical hit. So there's a piece that's broken. On top of that, the entire game's unbalanced. Psychic types have pretty much no weakness. I think they're technically weak to bug in this game, but there's like one bug type move, and it's learned by Beedrill, which is also a poison type, which is weak to psychic. And most of them are incredibly fast. So I mean, one of my big things is whenever people will get cocky when they find out like I run a Pokemon podcast typically, and you know, if it'll be at, like a party where like there's Pokemon Stadium or something, like, oh, I'm gonna take you down because I'm pretty sure I know more about Gen 1 than you do. I'm like, okay. And so you pick up the rental Pokemon and you pick up like six psychic types and you just sweep because you can't do anything. This was also in the Pokemon franchise in the timeline, there's two physical special splits. In Gen 4, you had the split between typing, because the stat that your move is based off of is based on the move type in this game in Generation 1. And so that was changed in Generation 4. But prior to that, in Generation 1, we only have the special stat, which accounts for both your special attack and also your special defense, which was later split in Gold and Silver. And so it makes a lot of other Pokemon really overpowered, such as Snorlax, who later gets that split, and when he gets that split, his special attack just drops, like, amazingly, which is really nice.
So that's why I had a Snorlax that could just use Body Slam and beat everything in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the big things that people did was they would teach it, like, Thunder Punch and Fire Punch. And when it learns Thunder Punch and Fire Punch, those are kind of the special moves in those games. And so it can just kind of just use those attacks. Same thing with Alakazam. I mean, Alakazam could use those punches as well. It can't use it anymore.
So for those of us that play this game casually and don't know about all of these technical details and how broken the game is, but just enjoys a regular game, how about what is your starter? Which one did you start with this week? That's like my question.
Yeah. Oh, I started with Squirtle for nostalgia reasons. But I do remember, I listened to your Pokemon Stadium episode, and I believe you really like Charmander.
Okay,
so I was listening to that. I got a little frustrated, only because you were claiming that Charmander was like the best out of like all of them, and it is the hardest to start this game with. But on top of that, competitive viability wise, Charmander's been like garbage for like the past 20 years, like topped by none other than Venusaur. Like no joke. Venusaur has been the better option almost the entirety of Pokemon until Generation 6 when we got Mega Evolution, and then Charizard became a Dragon type.
That's embarrassing, because I and the reason why I chose him as a kid is because he's fire and he looks cool. Like,
yeah, that's the only reason to pick him.
Like, he looked incredible. It was nothing about you know, who I would be able to beat these first two gyms with. It was which of the Pokemon looked the coolest, which was always made it difficult, but always pushed me into catching Pokemon as early as possible so that I could beat these gyms and train them up, which was, you know, a core mechanic to this game.
I mean, it also means you're wrong, because Squirtle is cooler than Charmander in every equatable, measurable sense.
I thought you were a Bulbasaur guy.
I did too. I for sure thought you were a Bulbasaur guy.
I always told you I played one or the other. I never picked Charmander, though. I avoided him. I think because I knew everybody else would think he was cool, and I was a hipster even as a kid. I don't know.
Who did you pick this week?
Yeah, I played Squirtle this week.
Okay.
Nolan?
Charmander, because...
Yeah?
Nostalgia, yeah.
And then I started later, and so I asked these. Actually, I'd started with Squirtle, because I wanted to do a run with Squirtle, but found out Kenny was playing him this week, so I decided to do something different. So I started for the first time ever. As a kid, I never did this, because it was the ugliest one to me. I started with Bulbasaur.
So you had the easiest time.
Oh yeah, like,
early on, things went well.
So yeah. So for those that haven't played the game, you choose your starter close to the beginning of the game. Professor Oak takes you in. He's got three Pokeballs inside. He's got three different Pokemons. The ones we just named. You select one. Your rival chooses the opposite, like the one that is strong against your type. So it just starts off being an immediate jerk, and then you have to face your rival's Pokemon. So if you choose Bulbasaur, which is a grass type, correct me if I'm wrong, but grass type, then he's going to choose Charmander, which is the fire type, which can do more damage to grass types, and so that's how he sets his team up and how you begin the game. And after that, you go out into the world trying to collect Pokemon, trying to go and defeat gyms, which are themed by a certain element. So your first one is rock type Pokemon, your second one is water type Pokemon, and you go from gym to gym to gym until it opens up. After Lieutenant Surge, it kind of opens up and you've got a lot of story to do with Team Rocket, the enemy team, and all of these other things before you get back to completing the gyms and finally facing the Elite Four.
Yeah, and For people who didn't play the game growing up, I feel like it's such a foreign thing. Like, the newer games definitely would be easier to get into, I think. Right, Thatch? I haven't played Sun and Moon.
To some degree.
If you play Sun and Moon, it's really hand-holdy for, like, the first, like, hour.
Mm-hmm.
For the veteran players, it's really annoying for, like, the first hour. But after that, after you get by it, I think it's easier. They changed a lot of things to make them easier. Like, catch rates have been increased, so you don't have to be incessantly annoyed that things keep breaking out of Pokeballs and stuff like that. But, I would say Sun and Moon are definitely easier than anything else right now.
It's not like this game was especially inaccessible, though. There are some unique things about it, but it kind of felt like just picking up an old RPG and playing it. It definitely has unique elements, but it's not like it was doing anything completely foreign to people who were playing other games of this time.
Do you know what I discovered this week? And you're going to think I'm silly at first for even saying this, but Kenny, you just mentioned it, and I'm going to expand slightly. But the reason I still have a fondness for the original Pokemon games is because they are Final Fantasy games. Tell me I'm wrong. Here we go. You travel throughout the world recruiting party members. You get into random battles. You choose which of your party will go into that battle in a turn-based environment. Your characters at certain levels will evolve, changing both their sprite and their abilities and their power. And on top of that, your primary goal is to collect all of these crystals, badges, scattered throughout the world in order to beat the game. Tell me this isn't Final Fantasy.
I will give you that it was clearly influenced by some of the other popular things, including Final Fantasy, but they did some very, very unique things. It's not fair to equate them, but I think you can absolutely argue that there was influence.
Well, I'm saying that's why it does feel familiar to me, and something that I have a great affection for, is because that RPG trope and that RPG stereotype in these games, in a lot of ways, is mimicked in this one, and I think done really well with some unique things, unique twists.
I mean, okay.
No one hates the idea of it.
if you word it like that, but the story element is huge for you, right, Dustin?
It is.
So do you care about the story in Pokemon?
Yeah,
you do. I'm surprised by that. I thought
I am honestly surprised.
Yeah,
as well.
It's pretty weak.
It stays weak, and throughout the series, in my opinion, and like that's fine for me. It's not a huge. It's not a deal breaker. I don't play Pokemon for the story, but like, I thought you would have an issue with it, Dustin.
Oh no, I do. The story's not good. I'm not saying that, but I do care about the story. Like, going into it, like, I'm Ash wanting to collect all the Pokemon and become a Pokemon master. Like,
it's
that,
the marketing. It's the marketing.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely. I just said I'm Ash, and that's not even Red Blue. Like, that was the anime. Yeah. So, well, actually, the anime came out before Red and Blue, didn't it?
In the United States.
In the United States. Okay.
Which was really wise. I think if that hadn't happened, I don't know if this franchise would have been what it is today.
No, the marketing was phenomenal. I mean, between the cards, the anime, the video game, everything, and just like how much they pushed it. I mean,
they hit it all.
Breakfast cereal.
And they hit their audience so well. Like, they knew who they were catering to. There's a reason we're talking about this game years later, but it's because we were kids then. like they created a franchise that can be appreciable. I don't know. I'm making up words by other people. You know, that matures and has some depth and can be played competitively and all those things.
Yeah.
But on its basis, it's this cool little concept of these pretty neat monsters you carry around in your pocket. You know, and they've been spending generations like getting this into kids' brains. And continue to do so. With Go coming out recently, the resurgence of popularity on like the schoolyard of this game has been insane.
Even the sales numbers back that up, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, it's like no joke. Like the resurgence has been insane. Sun and Moon are the best-selling Pokemon games of all time. They just beat Red and Blue. Like,
really?
That's
crazy.
Yeah, like Pokemon is back in like full swing. I mean, it never did poorly, obviously, but
yeah.
And it will continue to, because they're not just hitting like us, people that played these games a long time ago and staying relevant. They're getting popular again with young kids and gamers, and these kids are going to grow up loving this franchise. Like, it's not going anywhere.
Back to the game in particular, like Red and Blue, is there a part in the game that any of you three remember or played this week that is like, this is my favorite part of this game, this is my favorite part of Pokemon, or this really brings out like what I love most about the series or this game?
Mount Moon, particularly, just because as a kid I spent about a week in Mount Moon. I mean, thinking about it now, it was
it's not even that big.
Yeah, it's not even that big. Like, I can run through Mount Moon in like 5-10 minutes now. But like, I was stuck in there for weeks. I had no idea how to get out. And so just every time I go back in there, I just remember that. Just like a week of playing Pokemon being stuck in Mount Moon.
Yeah.
I think for me it's the beginning, and that's silly, but like when you choose your starter, I love like starting new playthroughs, speaking of RPGs. And then so that translates here. Like when I just started a new game, I love that beginning sequence where everything's easy and just, I don't know. I love that part. So that's probably my favorite. But this is not my favorite, but it's something that I remember very, very distinctly. But so I didn't know how to use Flash outside of battle. So as a kid, I got through the entire tunnel without using Flash, which
just
you can totally
dark?
Do. Yeah, just in the dark.
Yeah.
But it was luck. Like I had to just try, and I finally made my way. And I was like, oh, that was the hardest thing ever.
That's
but
awesome.
You just use Flash, and it's...
I have games that I played so much that I could like navigate tunnels without turning lights on after I'd learned them the first time. But getting through like that just on your own seems pretty impressive.
Thank you, Kenny.
So, okay, for me, it was... There's sort of two sides of this coin. Some of the writing stuff they did felt really canned and cheesy. And, like, the characters and, like, who that super nerd and Lass and some of the lines that they would tell you when they came up to battle. But they're so cheesy that I thought it was fun. And then some of the references they made, like, you start up the game. And we talked about this a little in Discord this week. Tom will agree. The fact that he's playing a Super Nintendo, that kind of cross-branding. And then on the TV, I'm pretty sure is a direct reference to one of my favorite films of all time, Stand By Me. Mm-hmm. And, like, when it talks about the four kids like walking down the railroad, I knew like, wow, I'm about to go on this epic journey. Like, this is what they're trying to emulate. And some of those like cultural references, and then I don't know, just the whole like tone of what they did was really fun to me. I thought on the gameplay side of things, I actually don't think it's an especially strong game. It's good, but it's more those little cheeky things that they throw in there that I go, you know what, this is a fun game that really kind of hooked me personally.
I think my two things would be, one, the dialogue kind of that you're mentioning. If for some reason, I like if a game's not taking itself too seriously and it's having fun with it and you can tell that, then I'm fine with dialogue not being like this epic like story building thing. It's when something is trying to be epic but then they throw in these things that doesn't really go with the tone that I disagree with. But here it's a fun game, and so like some of the dialogue on one of the people trainers that you come across, all he says before he battles you is, "I like shorts." And then you fight him
so hard.
And a couple trainers later says, "You're not wearing shorts." And then they fight you. Yeah. You know, like, That doesn't add anything. I mean, you know, story wise, but it's so much fun, and I laughed this time playing through. I was like, that's so ridiculous.
They stay having fun with that too. Like, and they give them just like funny names, and they kept coming up with new like genius, like mad scientist, like just really weird trainers. Like, why am I battling you on a road right now? But
they did that, and they've named a lot of them after like real life people. I know that there's one of them that's named after Satoshi Tajiri, who's in who's the creator of Pokemon, and they've done it several times. I mean, also Game Freak itself is actually in every single game, so they always put themselves in.
That's awesome. So before we move on, we need to talk about trading, because that was a huge mechanic and a huge thing that made this game even more fun. I never, as a child, traded extensively. So with Red and Blue, maybe you can expand on it a little bit more, Thatch, but with Red and Blue, you've got 6 or 7, 8 maybe different Pokemon on each?
Yeah, it's something like that. It's I forget which ones exactly. I mean, I just buy both of them, so I'm awful. But
yeah,
they own my soul. It's really bad. I buy so much Pokemon stuff. I mean, you guys can see
the plushies,
me right now,
yeah.
But yeah, it's really bad. There's like 7, maybe 8 different exclusive. It's worse now, but because it'll be like legendaries and stuff that are missing. In this case, it wasn't. It was like, oh, I can't catch an Ekans. Oh, yeah. I can catch a Koffing. Let's trade these. That used to be the extent of it. But yeah, you have to trade them to complete the decks.
Yeah, even that was a big deal though, because you couldn't do the complete decks, and you couldn't check that off. And for people who are like wanting to do that and are completionists, it forces you to do social things. And like the fact that the game started there with like, we have a good game. Oh wait, let's make it even better by forcing people to socialize. Mm-hmm. Is such an echo of what happened with like Red, Blue, and such an echo of what literally just happened with Pokemon Go and like social rating, where they went, this game was successful, it's okay, now let's force people to go talk to each other.
And not even just that, but like when they introduced internet connectivity
absolutely
in Diamond and Pearl, like that's a huge thing. I mean, that's the whole reason I started doing things, was because, oh, you can start battling online.
Right. Keeping online. That in mind of, let's not just make a game, but let's make a game people can play together. Like, they started that early and knew how valuable it was, and they stuck with it. And I remember as a kid watching friends go up to each other with their Game Boys and plug in and do that trading. And it was this cool, cool thing that you wouldn't have cared about in any other type of game.
Aged. So in this original Pokemon game, you've got 150 diverse Pokemon. You can play this game virtually any way you want to. Like, you can assemble your own team of interesting creatures, and it might be harder, it might be easier, but you can do it the way that you want, and with enough grinding, with enough training, you can take a team of, you know, like Pidgeys, just ton of Pidgeys, maybe through the entire game. I've never seen anyone do it. I guarantee you it's out there.
It's been done. Everything's been done at this point.
Yeah. You can even glitch Mew in. It's great. Yeah.
Yes, you can. So there are your core group of Pokemon, and then throughout the game, there's hinted about, I think about Mew and Mewtwo, about if you find these certain journals, we'll talk about these scientific experiments, which I also like and think that it carries over well to today. I know I'm pausing, but when I played it as a kid, I just played it kind of for the gameplay, the mechanics, catch the Pokemon, yay. But now playing it this last week, I might have even, I don't know if I had more fun, but I had a different kind of fun because I knew what was good against what. I knew some of that. And then some of that lore and even a deeper story of, really in this first game especially, science versus God, like that kind of thing. Like it's so much more robust than what you would just get as a child playing this game initially. Yeah.
Actually, if you want to keep feeling that feeling, there's a manga for Pokemon called Pokemon Adventures, and I would actually suggest reading the first 7 volumes. It is the Red, Blue, Yellow series, and it's fantastic. It covers all of those bases. It's a different spin on the Red and Blue story. It was written at the same time, but there's a lot of lore about Mewtwo that's kept in there. That's discussed. There's a lot of lore. It's just all the lore that you ever wanted about Team Rocket. It's in there. So just suggestions if you're interested still. So, yeah.
we've marveled before when future games in a particular series still play renditions of music from the original games in the series. And I believe that's the case here, that some of the tunes that you can hear in some of these later games, you hear at first in Red and Blue. And that speaks to a quality that came with this original music set.
Oh, the music's fantastic. There's actually a guy back in, I believe, 2013 who orchestrated all of it for Red and Blue. Wow. It's called Canto Symphony. It's on iTunes. You can go download it for like $10. He's right now working on Johto Symphony for the end of this year.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's really good. I suggest that. It's on Spotify as well. So
cool.
And there's just so much of it for being a Game Boy game. Like, with every town and every cave and, you know, you get all of these different themes. Some of them are forgettable, but some of them are super iconic.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they did they remixed them to some extent with X and Y back in 2013 because they were trying to use that as, like, a resurgence for the series. Though Sun and Moon is definitely much better at doing that job than X and Y was. Because X and Y, you can actually go get like a Kanto starter. You can go get Charmander, Bulbasaur, Squirtle very early on.
Yeah.
And so I know that brought a lot of people back to the series, but not nearly as much as Pokemon Go. And so, but they did do reorchestrations of that in to some extent with like trainer battles. There's still a hint of like OG Pokemon battle music in every track of Pokemon battles you ever play.
Yeah.
In any Pokemon game, like the style's there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So speaking to the legacy of Pokemon still, are you excited about the announcement of the Switch Pokemon title?
Oh yeah. So that I'm so upset that got announced, by the way, because they it's taking away the Thunder from Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, which are coming out in November. And so it was literally just happening because everybody was complaining so hard after hearing these rumors that there was a Pokemon Stars coming in the future. And then they come and they have a Pokemon Direct back in June, and they announced Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon for the 3DS and Pokken Tournament DX if you want to play Tekken but with Pokemon skins. And it's a lot of fun. I've played the Wii U version, but They announced that for the Switch instead, and so there was like a huge outcry. And you can tell, like, in the Nintendo Direct when they mentioned the Pokemon coming to Switch, it was like a tacked on thing, like, hey, calm down, it's gonna be okay. They just had their quarterly report, I believe, and that's the only game that's listed as 2018 or later. I'm really excited for it for several reasons, the biggest one being a content creation issue, because right now to like make Pokemon videos, if you're a Pokemon YouTuber, which I'm not, but if you are or you want to stream Pokemon, you have to go out and get a 3DS capture card, which is the most gruesome process that has ever existed. There used to be one guy in the United States that did it. He doesn't do it anymore. So the only place to get them is from some guy in Japan. I actually had a guy go out there recently to pick us up another capture card so we can start doing some more video content. And he actually went to the physical store, because if you don't go to the physical store, it takes like 4 months.
Wow.
And so I had him go to the physical store so he could just go get one right away. And he's just like, it was a mix between a meth lab and a tinkerer studio. Like,
like they're literally building like these things themselves.
Well, yeah, they like buy a 3DS and then like rip it open and then put a card in it.
Yeah.
And so a lot of like sketchy soldering happening, voiding warranties all over the place.
Absolutely. So,
yeah.
I'm somewhat unfamiliar with how the series has progressed. So Thatch, what are some ways that Pokemon has evolved from Red and Blue in good ways? And then maybe what are a couple ways that it has evolved in some not so good ways?
So one of the things that it did that I'll address the bad first. I think the worst thing that the community has an issue with right now is they introduced back. I'm pretty sure all of you probably got to like the experience share in Red and Blue, where it spreads the experience out throughout all of the Pokemon. So in future iterations up until Gen 6 with this, the experience share actually becomes a held item. So only one Pokemon at a time gets to share that experience instead of your entire party. And it used to just divide up the experience from the opponent you beat. So in Gen 6, what they did is they introduced a new item instead of experience share. They called it experience all. And what it does is it gives experience to your entire party, but it doesn't split it. It just multiplies it, essentially. And so you get growth rates a lot faster. It's really nice if you're just trying to play Pokemon on the go and you don't want to take forever to grind. it removes the grind almost entirely, a little bit too much. That's the problem everybody has, because by the end of the game, you're ready to go to the Elite Four. You don't even need Victory Road. And you just kind of like clean their clocks right out of the gate. So that's the bad. If we want to address the good, it's done so much. Like I was talking to you guys about that special stat. That got split in Gen 2 into special attack and special defense, brought some balance to the metagame. And then you go even further to Generation 4, where they introduced things like physical special split with attacks, so that your grass-type Pokemon can now use physical attacks and not just special attacks, mm-hmm. which was really nice because it made a lot of Pokemon, like Feraligatr, for instance, usable. Before that, like its special attacks, that was garbage, and so it's all of its water-type attacks were absolutely awful. It wasn't worth using it. And so even on top of that, you have abilities now on Pokemon, which is a lot of fun. Things that you think should be floating are floating now. Mega Evolution, I think, was the biggest one, the biggest change to come, which I think was for the better. It made Charizard actually usable. Now that he's got two Mega Evolutions, because all of the outcry that Charizard's not a dragon, now he's a dragon to some extent when he Mega Evolves with into the correct Mega Charizard. There's just so much Charizard hype. It's so disgusting.
Love it.
It's so disgusting. It's just like, I was so upset because they gave Charizard two Megas, but they didn't give Venusaur two Megas. They only gave it one. Same with Blastoise. It only got one.
Yeah, unfair.
No.
What did Charizard ever do to you?
Yeah, Charizard's the man.
Dragon. Oh my gosh, he just got. It's so overhyped. It's just so.
Yeah, he's just burned out on it.
Oh, and with that burn pun, like I think we should transition. So, Pokemon Red and Blue has aged in some great ways, aged in some poor ways, but regardless of either of that, no one could deny the legacy that it has created and left behind that we are still experiencing today and tomorrow and for years probably to come. Pokemon will never stop and will never cease, but what matters most, at least right now, is whether or not we give this game our vote for New Game Plus status.
The final shell shock.
So at the end of each and every episode, we come to this question, and the four of us now must provide an answer. It's majority vote, swings it one way or another. New Game Plus status is a simple thumbs up or thumbs down. Do we suggest our viewers find a copy of this game and play it, or reserve their game time for some other retro video game? I think that we typically allow our guests to go first, so Thatch, do you give this game, Pokemon Red Blue, your vote for New Game Plus status, and why or why not?
I do. If you've never played it before, I think you should definitely pick it up. It's super easy if you have a 3DS now. It's on the Virtual Console for that for about $10. You can go pick it up. On top of that, if you're still playing Pokemon or you want to get into like the newer ones like Sun and Moon, you can actually move those Pokemon from your Blue version to your Sun and Moon, which is really cool. It's really cool. So yeah, absolutely. I give it to it.
Awesome. That's one. I'll just follow up. I think that this is a game that is all about feelings for me. Like the feeling that you get when you find a new Pokemon to add to your Pokedex. The feeling when you throw out a ball to catch a Pokemon, hoping, one, that it's going to connect, and then two, that it's going to stop shaking and you're going to be able to catch your Pokemon. So much so that when I was a kid, I would tap, you know, one of my buttons when the ball closed.
Yeah, that rumor.
I don't think that does anything.
Yeah, it doesn't.
No. Yeah. The feeling that comes when the enemy Pokemon crits yours and your bar just slowly depletes, but you still have that one HP left so that you can either throw your final attack or switch out Pokemon. And the feeling that you get when you beat your rival for the final time and claim victory over this game. It's these feelings that I felt 20 years ago as a 9-year-old when I played this game, and it's the same feelings that I felt this week replaying the game as now an old and dying man. This game is wonderful, and it's a game that I definitely give my vote for New Game Plus status.
Two votes. Go ahead, Kenny. I'm interested to hear your thoughts.
So here's the thing. This game definitely has a great legacy. I definitely had fun playing this game. But I'm not going to say that Pokemon Red Blue is a great game. It's a good game. If you haven't played it, it's probably worth playing. But there are definitely some weaknesses. There are things that from a game design perspective, it could have done better. Was a great fit, was pushed well. It was perfect that they put it on the Game Boy and didn't try and put it, you know, onto another console. They did some really good things with this game. But from balance issues to just like clarity kinds of issues to ambiguity about what does what and things that you get to use once and then they're like said and done and you've committed to those decisions. And I don't know, there were just some things about it that I thought from like a game design perspective could have been better. But you're right, tone is there, it's fun, it gives you something to talk about, you automatically feel connected to your main Pokemon, who's going to be way, way overpowered if you're like me and just depend on them too much. Clearly an influential game. I love the series and I'm dabbling more today than I was then. It's a good title, not a great title. Good enough, though, to still get New Game Plus from me.
There we go. That's three. Nolan, what do you say?
Yeah. I mean, I do think that I think everyone should play it. But I will say that if you're unfamiliar with the series or you're young, like you're a kid, I'd play the new ones. I think that's a great entry into Pokemon right now, and definitely the most accessible. But I think at some point, everyone should play the originals.
So that's four yeses, which means that this game is definitely New Game Plus certified. Nolan, what you said made me want to ask that. For people that haven't played Pokemon before, or much Pokemon, what game would you suggest that they start with?
Sun and Moon. Absolutely. Oh, really? Sun and Moon. They are really good at holding your hand. I mean, if you want the traditional like gym badge collection experience, then go to X and Y. X and Y has a lot of things. It doesn't hold your hand as much, but if you want to go ahead, you get an original starter. I mean, it's a lot of fun. It makes the game easier to play. And despite the whole no more grinding and like overpowered you get at the end, I think it's still worth playing just because it's easy to get through. You're not going to have too many times. I mean, the worst one was definitely Generation 5, so don't play that one. Black and White, the grind was awful. Yeah, like, that was the worst grind I've ever had.
Awesome. We had some commentary from some of our viewers this week. We had a lot. I mean, it's Pokemon Red, Blue, right? And then we have a guest on. But so we're not going to be able to read all of them, but we will read a few of them as a part of our episode today. Jesse sent in an email. She said, "This week has really opened my eyes. I'm very fond of Pokemon and have been a great dabbler in it since the beginning. This week, I've learned that I'm actually not good at it. I make terrible decisions about starters and the type advantages don't seem to stick in my brain. I chose my team with my heart instead of my brain, which added hours of grinding to my game. In fact, I'm still grinding in the grass patch outside Cerulean City and can't beat Misty, while others in the Discord chat have beat the entire game in less time than I've been playing for this entire week. The question is, New Game Plus or no? I say conditional yes. The game is charming and maybe too simple by today's standards, but like I said, we know people who have beaten in 5 or 6 hours. For a newer fan who really does not want to catch them all, I think it's worth a closer look and may even be necessary if you do want a full Pokedex. It's a great vacation game to pick up and play. There is something about the original game that really started a sensation that is still popular, and even after all these years, maybe Pokemon Go and Magikarp Jump are better suited but to my busy, boring adult life these days, but I just can't say no to giving Pokemon Red, Blue my New Game Plus status."
You gotta keep a tab of Bulbapedia open for those type advantages.
I think they have a type chart, but it's different now.
Oh, really? I mean,
they've changed a lot of. Gosh. They've changed some type advantages from Gen 1.
Is Fairy still overpowered?
Oh my gosh! Don't even get me started on that. Right now. Fairy wasn't bad last gen. This gen, they added so many new Fairy types that are really good, and it's you see them, it's on every team, like, no joke.
Thank you for your email, Jess. Dylan also sent in an email. "Upon initially hearing about this game, I was super excited. I put in an untold amount of hours on my Game Boy playing the Pokemon games as a kid, so I was pumped when I found a way to emulate the Game Boy on my phone. I played Pokemon Red this week, started off with Squirtle, even though Charmander is my favorite, because I knew that early on with the Boulder Gym and with going through Mount Moon, it would be extremely helpful to be water-based. With that being said, I forgot how complex this game is. You can get stuck for days if you don't know how to go into a certain house, talk to someone specific, and or to buy lemonade from the top of the biggest mart in the world in order to fulfill the need for thirsty guards. The complexity within that elevates this game from a simple child's game to something anyone of any age at any time should be able to pick up and enjoy. I will definitely be finishing the game this week by getting all the badges, unlocking all the legendary Pokemon, somehow getting Mew, and completing my Pokedex. Easy New Game Plus status for me."
Well said.
You can actually get stuck if you don't buy that lemonade. Like, you can actually get to a point where you have to restart the game. You can in two places, because you need to buy that lemonade, and two, you need to enter the Safari Zone. And so if you spend all of your money, get rid of it, you sell all the items, and you have less than like $500, and you don't catch a Meowth with Payday, you're stuck. You can't get money because you can't rebattle these trainers.
So interesting.
Broken. Yeah.
Bad they fixed game. It in yellow. They fixed it in yellow.
To be fair, though, that's probably rarely going to happen, but for the few people that played this game for the first time and got stuck with that, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Dallas sent in an email. When I heard that Pokemon was the game of the week, I couldn't wait to go home and fire it up on my Game Boy Color. Since I knew that we only had a week to play, I knew that I would have to go about playing it differently if I was going to be able to complete the game. That being the case, I didn't go around catching all the Pokemon like I usually do. Instead, I just caught a handful that I knew that I would need in order to have super effective attacks against whoever I was dueling. I avoided duels if I could, only went the route that I had to take, and stayed out of the grass to avoid wild Pokemon as much as possible. I was able to beat the Elite Four and Gary in a little over 4 hours of gameplay. It felt That's so impressive. Rewarding yeah. beating the Elite Four and Gary with my underleveled Pokemon. It wasn't easy, but I did it. My team ended up being just a level 34 Kadabra, a level 40 Charizard, a level 36 Lapras, and a level 41 Haunter, level 57 Zapdos, and a level 46 Mew. Well, I hope Pokemon gets New Game Plus. I look forward to hearing your thoughts. Keep up the excellent work that you guys are doing on the podcast. I'm really enjoying the Elements episodes that you've done as well. I'm off to play another round of Pokemon. Gotta catch them all.
Oh, gosh.
Dallas is a super fan, I would say.
Yeah, I think
so. He beat the game this week. And just, yeah. But not even just this week, and just 4 hours
That's
of gameplay.
That's fast. That's
like, I logged, very fast. I think I logged a
you
lot
can
this
do
week.
It.
Yeah, Dylan actually sent me a picture. Dylan logged 50 plus hours this week. I don't know.
That's a work
like
week.
Game time.
That's
I know. That's
week.
A long time that he was playing. Yeah. I think there's a lot of traveling involved in his schedule, wow. but he played a lot, didn't beat the game yet. Because you don't have to.
Right,
like you,
no.
There's a lot of game to play.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But Dallas did. Antonin finally sent in an email. Antonin's the one that connected us to Thatch. Thank you very much, Antonin. He said, "Hello, Thatch, and whoever he has." I'm guessing that's a reference to your podcast.
Yeah, that's a reference to our podcast.
I'm so glad this game was picked. I haven't played the first gen in almost 5 years, and it's still one of my favorites. Upon replaying Pokemon Blue, I found myself enjoying the game more than when I was younger. Understanding the underlying mechanics, the type systems, etc., allowed me to enjoy the game without stressing too much about grinding or beating some gym leader. Whilst I am heavily clouded by my nostalgia, I still think the game holds up pretty well. It's a nice short story with a great deal of strategy and battle, which I appreciate. I honestly thought I'd hate it and find it tedious, but that did not happen. The mythos surrounding the game is also pretty legendary. From using strength on the trucks where SS Anne is docked to beating Elite Four 99 times. I hope we can all talk about this game in Discord's past game channel as we finish our journeys through Kanto.
Thanks, Antonin. And everybody else who sent mm-hmm. in thoughts. Always fun to hear from our viewers.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, Thatch, we randomly select a new old game to play, and we spin the randomizer, and from our retro master list, we end up okay. with a game that we're going to be playing for the next 7 days.
All right.
And so the time has arrived, but before we do that, Kenny typically asks our guest.
Yeah, I was going to wait until after, but I'll do it first, because we always like input from the people that we've talked to on mm-hmm. games that they want to, you know, would suggest that we play. Good games, bad games, games you want to see us suffer from,
man.
Any game that sticks out as something noteworthy in your mind from your childhood, 15 years or older, that you'd like us to put on the list. Oof. Or verify that we already have on the list. Do you have any suggestions for our Retromaster list?
I don't know. I played a lot of games as a kid. Did you guys do Banjo-Kazooie? That one's always a fun one.
We
did.
Yeah, we...
Did you? Okay.
That one
I
did,
know.
I think.
That one got picked,
okay.
actually.
Yeah. We're 94 oh, okay. games in.
Yeah, I don't know. This is hard then. You guys did 94. I didn't look at your entire back catalog.
Oh, no. That's completely fine. Maybe there's even another Pokemon game.
I mean, Gold and Silver do come out on September 22nd. I might know a guest that would like to be on that.
Part two.
That does come out, though, on the Virtual Console in like 2 months.
Oh,
so.
Nice.
Okay. Well, we'll add that one. And if, yeah. if you think of any yeah. other ones, feel free to
oh,
tell us.
Yeah, absolutely. 15 years or older. I just forget. I don't remember how long ago 15 years was.
Oh, if you miss it, it's not. Yeah. It's a big deal.
Yeah, Pokemon Conquest, that was for the DS, so that's probably a little too new. But that was like, I think, 2009 or 8-10 or something like that. That one was good. I mentioned that before. If you like stuff like Fire Emblem, it's Fire Emblem meets Pokemon.
Wow, I didn't know that existed. Sweet. I love Fire Emblem.
Nobody knew this game existed. I couldn't believe it.
I'll check it out.
I went to buy it with my friends, and he ended up throwing his wallet across a GameStop because they only had two copies, and so two of us grabbed it, and he was the third.
So. Oh, what a great
story.
What
bad friends.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we'll look into some of those games, add some of those games. We really appreciate it. From our list, we'll randomly select our next retro game of the week, and we'll do so now. So the game we played this week had to do with Pocket Monsters. This game has to do with a different kind of monster altogether, and where Charmander grows up to be a fully grown dragon that we should all appreciate and not hate on. So does Spyro.
Oh, wow.
And ooh, the PlayStation classic, Spyro the Dragon, came out in 1998 on PlayStation.
I've never played this game.
Really?
I've never played a Spyro game.
Huh. Spyro the Dragon.
I feel like it's right up your alley, Nolan.
It's my wife's favorite game.
Really?
Yeah, she loves
it. Interesting.
Well, can we just replace you with her for next...
That'd be awesome. That would be a really awesome episode, actually.
So that's the next game that we're going to be playing over the next 7 days. Find a copy, play it along with us. Chat in our Discord with us. We talk daily in our Discord. Very lightweight program you can add to your phone or on your computer. And we can talk about this game on the daily. We could also talk about Pokemon Red Blue, as one of our viewers mentioned in our past games section. We'd love to talk with you about anything and everything. Make sure to catch us there, as well as email us at the end of the week your thoughts, your commentary. We'd love to include it as a part of our episode next week, ngppodcast@gmail.com.
Got to say a couple of quick thanks. Thanks to all our patrons, especially those who support us at the producer level. You guys really help this podcast continue to go and grow. Thanks to Antonin for hooking us up with our awesome guest this week. Thatch, thanks so much for coming in and utterly humbling us with your knowledge, knowing things about this game that that we'll never even like begin to conceive of. It's always cool having an expert around, and hope you had fun reminiscing this week and joining us. Yeah. And so thanks for hanging out with us.
Well, yeah, thank you for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, we had a blast, man. Thatch, before we leave, can you tell everyone where they can find you and how they can check out all that you're doing?
They can check us out at PucklePodcast.com. We're on Twitter, Facebook. Everything's under Puckle Podcast. You can check us out there. We also are on Discord as well. If you find our show, there's a link there. Even on the website, there's a link to join us there. We talk Pokemon all the time. We'd be welcome. Yeah, we'd have fun to talk with you guys too. So.
Yeah, definitely. We'll do a Discord raid. We'll send all our viewers over.
I'm probably hopping in their Discord just to get advice on how to be less terrible at Go. So
there's a lot of people that play Go.
Yeah, it has stayed fairly popular and then resurged like crazy. Mm-hmm. Over the last couple of weeks.
Well, we're going to go play some more Pokemon. Join us next week as we play Spyro the Dragon. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
And I'm Nolan.
And that's Thatch, and this has been New Game Plus.